morning will be taken from the book of Colossians. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. And I'll have the New King James translation. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Brother Norm.
Surely God has been good to us. He's once again spared our lives to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. We just pray that you will stick around after service, that we can get to know you just a little better. I know that we've been to talk and we've been concerned and about the virus. And we should be. But a lot of times we have talked up so much we forgot about the Lord. Remembering that the Lord has always been with us. And the Lord is with us right now. And even if we are concerned about the virus, are we really concerned about our souls? And that should be the number one question in our lives. Because what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Our goal should be wanting to make heaven our home. We ought to be concerned. Yes, we're concerned about what we need to do health-wise, but we need to be more concerned about where we're going to spend eternity one day. I believe we all want to make heaven our home, so we need to all be striving to make heaven our home. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity once again that you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the traveling grace that you've given our son and his family to make it here safely to this city and to this place. Lord, now as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been looking at a series as we're dealing with the family that is leading up to our Friends Day. We began to talk about gutting out our houses, gutting your home of the junk that's in it. We talked about bad attitudes, lying lips, malicious gossiping, disobedient, quick tempers, unforgiving spirits, bitterness, anger, self-centeredness, anything that comes between you and your Lord, anybody that will hinder your relationship with Christ. On last week, we began to look at the blueprint. And we have to be willing to follow the blueprint that is found in the Word of God. We looked at Psalms 127 in verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so this morning we're going to go into our homes. And now we're going to make up, make over the home. And so as we begin to make over our homes, what we're going to do is we're going to begin at the floor. When we look at the floor, we're going to be looking at the foundation of communication. In James chapter 1, in verse number 19 and 20, James is talking about communication here. He says, "Wherefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You and I need to understand this morning that there is an awesome power in communication. I'm talking about the power of the tongue. No matter who you are in this life, communication has its challenges. Communication in marriage and in relationships is an art, and sometimes this art can be twisted and the real joy is lost. As a matter of fact, if we don't learn in our marriages to communicate, and most likely our marriages will cause us some problems. See, we don't always communicate in the right way. Somebody said, example, as 58% of what we communicate to others is through nonverbal communication. 35% comes from our tone of voice in which we express our feeling, our attitudes, and our belief. But then watch this. 7% of what we actually communicate comes from the actual words spoken. Well, what is that saying to us this morning? That is saying to us this morning that it's not always what you say that matters, but it's how you say it. And so we need to understand that. So how do we talk this morning? How do we talk in a way so that we can say the right thing in the right way? Well, communication begins building foundations of trust by laying cornerstones of example, of commitment, of persistence. It's through the language we speak in our homes that we shape and we mold our family into what God desires it to be. It is the language that we speak in our relationships that we shape and we mold them. So communication really is basically the exchange of feelings, of facts, ascending and receiving ideas. Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever heard someone say that we are growing apart from each other? Have you heard someone say that it's hard to talk to you? It's hard for me to communicate. Well, it could be parent and children. It could be husband and wife. But do you really know what they are really saying? What they are really saying is that we don't communicate anymore. Not that we don't talk, but we don't communicate feelings and ideals anymore. When communication breaks down, everything else is out of whack. But when communication comes together, then everything else comes together. And so as a result, when we don't communicate, we say the wrong things in the wrong ways. So that is the floor. The floor is the foundation of communication. Well, let's go into the kitchen. Let's begin to make over the kitchen. The kitchen is the room of nourishment. It's the room of nourishment. We know a lot about nourishment these days, but the nourishment that I'm concerned about is not the physical nourishment. It's a different kind of nourishment. And this nourishment does not come from any food group, but it's the most important nourishment of all. And the nourishment that I'm talking about this morning is unconditional love. That's the nourishment that we need in our families. It's the unconditional love. Because unconditional love will provide the nourishment that your family needs to get through the things that Satan, the great homewrecker, sends your way. But here's the question. The question is, where do we get this unconditional love? We talk to the person who has it. God Almighty. Why is God the source for unconditional love? Because he had it first, modeled it for us, and offered it to us. In 1 John 4 and verse number 19, we love because he first loved us. If God had not loved us, we would have no idea what true love is all about. In 1 John 3 and verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So how then do we nourish our family with that love? Well, unconditional love should start at the beginning of a relationship. What do you mean? For spouses, it begins when they promise to love and to cherish in sickness and in health, for richer or for poor. And for parents, unconditional love begins at the moment a child is conceived. They promise to love that child forever through sickness and health, through the good times and the bad times. So why is unconditional love so important? Because unconditional love allows every member of the family to be totally real with each other. It's love for who the person is and who you know that they can be. It says that I love you, warts and all. I love you, and I see what you can become. So we have got the floor, the foundation of communication. We have now made over the kitchen, the place of nourishment. And now let's go to the living room. The living room is a place of value. A place of value. In our homes today, values are taught in the living room. Well, how? The television. That's how it's taught. And now it's more social media In fact, do you not know that the furniture in many living rooms or in family rooms is arranged around the television? Oh, now don't go home and removing everything and change it because I said it's arranged around the television. And what happens is that we gather around this box and we effectively say, oh, great one, entertain me, teach me, guide me. But listen, if we want to make a big change in our homes, then we need to regain biblical values and build righteous families. If we want to do that, then we need to make over our living rooms, because the living room is the place where values are determined and developed. So from time God selected a nation, you remember, for himself, through whom he would bless the world. He would bless. God pointed to the importance of the home in determining and developing his values. When you look at Deuteronomy 11, and I don't have time to go through all of these verses, but you read them when you get home in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and verse beginning with verse 1, and read all the way through the end of the chapter. Because in chapter 11, we find Moses is encouraging the people to love and to obey their God, for it is their benefit to do so. And then Moses exhorts the people to consider the Lord's discipline so that they may be strong, in verse 16 and 17, and in verse 27 and verse 28, God says that if the people will be faithful to the commands that he is giving them, God will bless them. And then what he does is that he shifts to a warning, which, be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. What gods? Anything that we put before God becomes your God. We need to put the Lord before us in all things. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And but we find that God does not stop with a warning. But in verse 18, he tells us how to avoid the problem and fix the problem. He tells us exactly how to make over our living room. There are three ways to fix the problem. The first way, in verse 18, God tells us we can make over our living room is to focus on the word. Focus on the word. See, if the word of God is not a focus for your family, make it one. It need to be the focus of your family. We must focus on the word if we want to make over our homes. The second way God tells us that we can make over is in verse 19. We see that. So the question comes is to talk about the word. See, you, number one, you need to understand, you focus on the word, but then you gotta talk about the word. All right? You got to talk about the word. So parents, wherever you go, whatever you do, teach the word. When you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you get up, interject biblical truths and values into routines of everyday life. The third way is in the first part of verse 20, that God tells us we can make over our living room. See, you focus on it, you talk about the word, but then you decorate the word. See, instead of secular culture being our focus, God should be our focus. He should be our number one focus. God says, if you do this, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. So we see now we have made over some room. We got the floor in. We got the kitchen. We got the living room. And now we got to go into the children's room. We got to make over the children's room. See, the children's room is a place of testing. It's a place of testing. And the question comes to you parents. Do you have a plan? Yes, you got a plan. Your plan is the Word of God. That's your blueprint. That's your plan to make over the children's room. You see, God's word meets us where we are. In Psalms 127, in verse number 3, he talks about, it states that children are a blessing to the parents from God. Our children are blessings. Let me say that again. Not mine. Our children are blessings. But listen, God has given the parents a plan. Well, what is the plan that God had given the parents? First of all, you must be dedicated to the Lord. If you're going to instill dedication to the Lord to your children, they got to see it first in you. You got to be dedicated. And so why? Because you would do a terrible job of raising your children or your child if you try to do it on your own. And you can't do it. Dedicate yourself first to the Father of fathers, and he will give you the things you need to take care of your children. Second, parents must be dedicated to their children. See, why? Because you have a responsibility to raise them. Now, we talked about that online. You know, it's not the church responsibility. It's not the daycare. It's not the school. But parents, you have a responsibility to raise your children. Being dedicated to your children means you are set apart for them. You are devoted to raising them and raising them right. In Proverbs 20 and 22 and verse 6, he says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he get old, he will not turn or depart from it. in families where there are dedicated parents and directed children, there will be dependable children. Mom and dad, you got to spend quality time with your children. You got to make time. Because when they are growing up, and as they grow up, you don't spend time with them, then you wonder, I wish I could have. No, you got time right now. Make time. Because if you don't spend time, if you don't give their children the attention that they need, I guarantee you somebody else will. And they won't give them attention that you would give them. They won't give them the right attention. We talked about that on last week. That our children, why do they go to games? Because they feel the importance. They feel the unity there, because sometimes our homes are empty. You can't go home to an empty house. So we need to be dedicated to our children. But then thirdly, parents must be dedicated to the task the Lord has given you. Why? Because the most important job you have, and this you will ever have, being a parent. And it can either be rewarding or it can be a devastating job. No one loves us more than God. But no one established clear guidelines, consequences for breaking those guidelines than God. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth sometimes. But listen, you got to love your children with more than affection. Let this set in. You got to love your children with more than affection. They need tough love as well. Y'all hear me? Keep this in mind. Love limits just as much as it permits. Think of it. The limits need to be firmly established. When you tell a child, stop doing that, please. And the child doesn't stop. So the parents say it again, again, and again. If they are supposed to stop, they need to stop. Okay, let me help you. Y'all. If your child was running out in the road and a car was barreling down the road at them, would you say, stop please, stop please, stop please? If you did, you'll be dealing with a dead child. Y'all listen to me. All of those times, you have to repeat yourself. Actually, you train your child to know they don't have to listen the first time. Every time they don't respond to a less important stop, you are actually training them not to obey a stronger stop when needed. Y'all listen. I'm telling you what the book is saying. We're going to look at some scripture. And y'all know what scripture we're going to. Because we got to be concerned. What are we teaching our children? And so we got to understand. They need to, over there in Colossians, what he says. Children, obey your parent. Is that in there? Everybody got a Bible? Children, obey your parent in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. But you know, in Ephesians said, children, obey your parents because your days can be longer. Okay. Discipline is needed. Let me give you an illustration, an example. It's going to help you. Everybody's seen a bow and arrow, haven't you? A bow and arrow. You know, it's that bow, and you put an arrow in it, put it back, then you let it go. When you place that arrow in the string and you pull it back, that arrow doesn't get to go where it wants to go. It has one choice: to go where you point that arrow to go. What are you saying? Very clearly, God very clearly has told us about the need for discipline. Go to Proverbs. We've seen that scripture many times. Proverbs, and I'm almost through. Proverbs 13. And verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastiseth him betimes. And in verse chapter 22 and verse 15 of Proverbs, 22 and 15, he says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Despite what folks say, discipline is a very good thing because it's sanctioned by God. Discipline directs children. Now let me help you. We don't punish our children for doing something. We discipline them so they don't do it again. Y'all are really quiet. Discipline, what discipline does is helps us with future choices. Discipline is there for the future. It's totally focused on the future, on directing your arrow where it should go. If you don't discipline your child, listen, they don't have no direction. You got to point them somewhere. That's your job as a parent, is to point them to the way God wants them to go. You are doing it. That's why he says, train a child in the way it shall go. That's what that arrow is. You are the parent. You got the arrow in your hand. Where are you directing your children to go? You got to direct them in the right way. We should all aim to be parents that our children can look up to. They need to look up to somebody. And we need to be parents that our children can look up to, no matter how tall they get. No matter how hard work, the discipline needs to be on our part, but that's the responsibility of the parents. You have done all you can do, and they chose to mess up. Listen, don't blame yourself. You be at peace that you have done all that you can do. Y'all listen, you got a responsibility. And God will hold us accountable for how we have raised our children. That's why we raise them in the right way. That's why if you're going to raise them in the way of the Lord, you need to be in the Lord. You need to show them that pattern. You need to show them example. But then lastly, my time. Lastly, okay, this is going to be brief. We got to go into the master bedroom. Oh, y'all looking, oh Lord. It's a place of love. And y'all listen, being able to say and mean, I love you through it all, through the ups, and through the downs. You might be thinking I'm talking about physical intimacy this morning. No, ma'am, and no, sir. That kind of love is important in a marriage. But that kind of love on its own will not get you from the honeymoon to the tomb. Listen, how do we get there? There's a house plan that God laid out. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through verse 23, chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus began with an exhortation by Paul to the church. He says in verse 1, here it is. That's the key to hold the whole thing. In Ephesians chapter 5, he said, be imitators of God. As we check our God's plan for the master bedroom, verse 21, that's where it begins. God gives us at least two ways for making over our master home. Number one is to submit. God shows us that submission stabilizes marriage. Paul moves to address each spouse separately. He started with the wives. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as it is to the Lord. In verse 22, it does not say, husband, make your wife submit. No, the mood of the verb is actually this. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Do it yourself. That's what that verse, the mood of that verse is talking about. Remember, he's already said submitting to one another. But then he says, you submit. Submit to your husband as, here it is, to the Lord. You do it because the Lord said to it, which raised a husband level to a headship in the home. Because now we got two equals. We are mutually submitting to one another, but one is the head and the of the other. How can that be? Well, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, this is how it is set up. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. That's how it is set up. And male leadership has nothing to do with superiority. I don't care what our egos may tell us, we are not more intelligent and more valuable than women. Male leadership has nothing to do with male superiority, but it has everything to do with the order among equals. But then he says, be imitators of God. Then the second way is to commit. Submit and commit. Commit strengthens a marriage. Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So we got to understand Christ committed himself to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are to commit. Commitment strengthens a marriage. Why? Because commitment demonstrates that you are in it for the long haul. Church, listen to me as I close. Marriage is never going to be all you thought it will be. But it will never be what God wants it to be until you conclude that there is no way out. We need to envision marriage as a room with no doors to release us. And when you envision that, then you begin to see and you begin to work in marriage and begin to make it all that God would have it to be. Make it over your home. Let's begin to do what God wants us to do so you can have a happy home. But then not only that, if you're here this morning, before you can even make over your home, you need to start making over your life. You need to make sure that your life is right with God. Make sure that you have obeyed God's commandments, because when you leave this world, we all got to stand before God. We all got to give an account. We got to make sure that I'm right. That I'm right with God. You're not yet obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, how do you get right? You've heard the word. You got to believe it to be true. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. And then go out and water and drink baptism for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you. You don't join. The Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2 and verse 47. Praising God. Having favored all the people, the Lord added to the church that such as should be saved. Then when you come out of your life, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then you follow his plan. How you live your life, then one day, when it's all said and done, you go home and live with him forever and ever. If you're a Christian, not been living as a Christian too. Maybe your home has not been what God would have it to be. Now is the time to get it right. And say, now, thank you, it's time for a makeover in my home. I want to be clean. So Almighty God, come right now and stand and sing your song.